crawling behind the gate. The gate swings into the stretch, and here they come. They're horsing around.
Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to Horsing Around. I'm your host, Michelle Gatchel, and I'm here with my co-host, Kelly Bell. We are looking forward to 2021. And joining us today is Renee Mancino from the Ohio Harness Horsemen Association. And we're going to talk about kind of OHHA 2020 and OHHA 2021. And then we'll talk a little bit about upcoming legislation and some legislation that's being worked on right now. So let's get right into it. Hey, Renee, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Michelle and Kelly.
Yeah. So good to see you, and yay 2021. I hope you have lots of good news for us of great things to come. It's been a tough year.
It has been a difficult year, no doubt.
But there, in spite of it, there's been some good things that have happened in 2020. You guys have been busy the whole year. You didn't shut down much, did you?
We did shut down to an extent, you know, as with all other small businesses, we shut down from May 16th until May 20th. I'm sorry, from March 16th until May 22nd.
Oh, okay.
So we did. We had a 2-month shutdown. And on the spectator side, we didn't come back into action with live spectators until after June 19th. So from May 16th to the 22nd, we were doing what's called qualifying in our world to go back and race live on, you know, May 22nd. So that was a significant hardship to my members, to my participants, to the equine athletes, without a doubt. Anyone that trains horses at any level for competition for anything, you know, whether it be a polo pony or a reining horse or a barrel racer or a standard bred racehorse, you can't hold those horses at peak level of capability for over 2 months. It's a very, very, very difficult thing to balance. And my members were doing that for 2 months, not knowing when they would be able to go back and compete again. So,
how many people were struggling during that period and nobody knew what was going to happen. But also, because they weren't in events, it disrupted the cash flow. And a lot of these horsemen and horsewomen were trying to figure out, you know, how to pay the bills and feed the horses and provide their vet care. I remember Amy Holler really stepped up and did a lot to get all the people in the harness racing community together to help each other, to, you know, hey, you're short on feed, we'll bring you a truckload, or you need some help with your horse, we'll get that taken care of. You know, whatever it was that people needed. And she really did a lot of work to bring the community together and help everybody pull through. So hats off to Amy. Good job.
Absolutely. My team was unbelievable. Amy, of which, you know, Amy's been with the association now. This is her 30th year. She's starting her 30th year. But all of my employees are just, you know, top caliber, the best anyone could ever ask for. And I always say it, you know, if it weren't for my team, we'd be nowhere. And we did a human and equine welfare benevolence program. And Frank Fraz, who is my outreach and PR coordinator, he arranged statewide with 32 locations to either do, you know, basically a benevolent free program or a reduced cost program at, you know, different locations in all quadrants of the state. So yeah, we were doing whatever we could for all of our members to try and help them float the boat through that 2-month period.
Yeah, I remember that now that you mention it. Are there some other people involved with the team or with the OHHA that you might want to name and thank for the work they did to help each other during that period?
Well, that's, you know, Brett Merkel and Amy Holler are our two frontline people who people see the most. Those are our on-site track representatives. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bill Peters and Todd Brown, they do the same thing for the county fair. So they were doing the same sort of outreach and the same sort of reconnaissance with fair boards that my paramutual on-site representatives were doing. And then, yeah, I mean, Frank Fraz and Susan Schroeder and Tom Pye, you know, we converted, once we were able to have harness racing at the county fairs this year, we converted what we usually do as an in-person promotional tool called Racing with the Stars into a digital live stream broadcast. And that was unbelievably successful.
Yeah.
We had 31 viewers from 31 states, 13 countries, and over a million viewers live during the live stream broadcast of over 31 county fair racing programs. It has definitely been a good thing for harness racing. And yeah, I mean, Frank and Roger and Tom Pye and Susan Schroeder, along with Teresa and Don Holden with Trot and Pace Marketing, they ran the ball unbelievably well and did a fantastic job. That was the most commented on thing that we did and we were involved in 2020. But yeah, the reach was absolutely, it was impressive because not only did we reach over a million people internationally and nationwide, but we also were able to hold their interest. The average viewing time was an hour.
Oh, that's fantastic. I know in the news business, you know, they try to get their main stuff in that first 12 minutes because it's known that about every 12 to 15 minutes, people change channels. So an hour, you know, holding their attention is fantastic. Renee, let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll talk about some things you're looking forward to in 2021. And then I want to talk about some legislation that just came through on the federal level and hear what OHHA thinks about.
It's mud season. Are you looking for a fix in a muddy situation? Cashman's has you covered, offering innovative mud control solutions. We are also your number one source for the best deals on rubber mats for multi-use flooring, perfect for horse stalls, garages, and gyms. Cashman's Horse Equipment has been serving the equine community for over 40 years. Come and visit our location in Delaware, Ohio, and shop over 10 acres of equine farm and livestock supplies. Shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Be sure to catch the new podcast, The Top of the Stretch, presented by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. The podcast keeps fans of racing in the Buckeye State up to date on various topics concerning the sport of harness racing. The news and views of top officials, owners, trainers, drivers, and breeders in Ohio. That's the all-new podcast, Top of the Stretch, on the Facebook page of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Be there!
Looking for that special gift for the horse lover in your life? Bow River Jewelry provides custom-made designs using state-of-the-art equipment, hand finishing, and quality stones to ensure your jewelry reflects that love of horses. Bow River Jewelry creates 14-karat gold rings, bracelets, and watches that uniquely exemplify the mutual love between horses and humans. Contact them at bowriverjewelry.com to see the variety of horse-inspired jewelry available or call 888-860-7483 with custom inquiries.
Welcome back to Horsin' Around. We are here with Renee Mancino from the Ohio Harness Horsemen Association. And Renee, we've been taking a look back at 2020. Let's take a look forward at some of the things you're looking forward to in 2021.
I think in 2021, I would like to see us come off the curfew. We've had to alter our parimutuel racetrack post times because we're a nighttime racing, you know, sport. We typically start at 6 o'clock at night and go till 7, 8, 9. 10 o'clock at night, and all of our schedules have been altered, and all of our parimutuel racetracks are racing on a different schedule. So I would like to see the county fairs come back with county fairs. You know, I think that would be really something that would be great. We support the county fairs, and you know, like I said, we race at 66 of them. Between the fairs fund and our support for the fairs, we put about $7 million into the fair system on a yearly basis. Mm-hmm. And we were very fortunate to have been able to race, but it's just not the same without the county fair. Yeah. You know, my members love the county fair. They go bring their horses in to race, and then they go, you know, bring their kids to the Ferris wheel and go to the concession stands and look at the exhibits. And, you know, I have heard obviously that the Ohio Exposition Committee has canceled all events through the first quarter. You know, we're hoping that helps to quell the numbers on the COVID-19 side enough that the county fairs will be able to go. And they're also, you know, in conjunction with the Ohio Fair Managers Association, House Bill 665 completely revamped the county fair program period for 2021. That passed the House and Senate and is in effect. They were able to get significant changes to the county fair system proper. The remainder of the county fair season is from my view right now, they're gearing up to go with what they normally do. It will simply be a matter of what orders are in place from the state health department.
All right. Well, let's take a break here. And when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about legislation and some things that are coming up for the industry for us all to talk about.
Looking for your next quality standard bred racehorse? Look no further than Sugar Valley Farm in Delaware, Ohio. Sugar Valley Farm offers stud services anywhere in the world, providing the best stallions available at any price point. With a stallion roster full of names like Well Said, Lather Up, Mr. Wiggles, and Down by the Seaside, winning must be in the water. For more info, call 1-740-363-5618. That's 1-740-363-5618 for Sugar Valley Farm.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is over $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standard-bred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing. The mission of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standard-bred industry in Ohio and beyond. To learn more about the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, go to OHHA.com. That's OHHA.com.
Welcome back to Horsing Around. We are here in 2021. I can't even believe it, Kelly. Can you believe it?
All I have to say is yay, 2021.
We made it. Woohoo!
We can finally say hindsight is truly 2020.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, we are here with OHHA Executive Director Renee Mancino. And Renee, you know, one of the things that happens a lot that I think a lot of horse fans don't realize is legislation that makes this whole racing industry possible. And there's been some recent legislation discussed on the federal level, the HISA, and I wanted to talk to you about, you know, what the OHHA thinks about it and pros and cons.
Well, if you go to OHHA.com/HISA, you can see all of our formal position papers and our basically position since 2017. The Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act has been kicking around since about 2017. There are some aspects of it that are good, but there are quite a few aspects of it that are not good. And unfortunately, those aspects outride the good. Mm. You know, from the association's perspective, the optic that is being basically used, if you will, to further the agenda of the Thoroughbred Jockey Club, it most certainly has no consideration for harness racing as a business model or our standardbred equine athletes and the way that they compete. It's definitely thoroughbred centric, as we say, and the difficulty with that is it's going to cost my participants at a minimum $3 million a year.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's a significant cost component that we cannot calculate. This is the only federal legislation that basically duplicates the state regulatory system that's already in place. It doesn't add any federal criminal enforcement powers. It only has state enforcement powers. It has the same system in place now, civil enforcement at the state level. They enforce at the state level with state law. It's really problematic. And the most problematic part of this was, you know, obviously we followed this since 2017, is the fact that there was really no meaningful discussion or opportunity for amendment on the standardbred side. Our breed registry, the United States Trotting Association, has tried for 3 years to get amendments into the bill, and the Jockey Club has strong-armed them. Wow. And the Thoroughbred Horse Racing Association has as well. The National Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association, of which Ohio is what we call an HBPA state, with their executive Dave Basler, the National HBPA and Ohio's HBPA are also against the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act for the same reasons we are. It's going to add a per start minimum of $45 to each of our racehorse starts. It's very, very, very controversial, though, because it's very difficult to cut through the optic that it is for horse racing integrity and safety. that it's just once you get past that sound bite, it's just going to be catastrophic to our industries, both thoroughbred and standardbred in Ohio. Absolutely.
Yeah, and let's dumb this down a little bit for maybe someone who might be listening and really hasn't followed the legislation. You know, there's a lot of people who listen to the show that might be involved with pleasure horses, and so they might not know what this is about. Everybody cares about horse safety, and we want to make sure that there are laws in place to make sure that they're treated properly, right? It's just in how the devil's in the details with all bills, right? One example that comes to mind for me is a medication called Lasix. Do you want to maybe touch on that, explain why Lasix is used and why it's a good thing, and it's not, you know, drugging a racehorse to make them win. It's actually for their health. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And that's one of the sound bites that the Jockey Club has been relying on. The Jockey Club has wanted for a long time to get rid of race day Lasix. To sort of dummy it down, racehorses are not permitted to race with any medication, therapeutic medication in their system on race day that would affect performance. That only race day medication that's permitted therapeutically is Lasix. And what Lasix does is it prevents a horse from basically, once it exerts itself, from doing damage to its lungs and bleeding as a result of the, you know, excess activity. Now,
can I add real quick, just for anybody that might sound scary to, it's a very common thing when a horse exerts itself for them to end up having to be scoped because they get mucus and blood material in their lung, and it kind of builds up, kind of like when you're not feeling good and you have a cold, right? And so Lasix is just a way of helping with that. It's not scary that they're internally bleeding because they race, right?
Every horse from a yearling on, when they're out in the field doing the same thing, exerting themselves physically, they all have the same phenomenon. Mm-hmm. They all have the same exertion. They all have the same sort of an effect. And we want to prevent that effect therapeutically in a racehorse because it preserves their lungs, it protects their lungs, and it protects the horse.
The other
part of it is most raceways are in populated areas with high pollution levels and allergens and things that will affect people. And most, you know, humans will say, I can't go to New York City. I can't this, you know. So it's all done to protect a horse's lungs, protect a horse's health, and protect a horse from any potential damage. But it's unfortunately become the poster child for everything that it's not. It does not mask performance-enhancing drugs that are illegal. It does not increase and or enhance a horse's performance. That's verifiable with research. It doesn't do things that are outside of protecting that horse's lungs and protecting that horse's ability to do what he would normally be doing in a field. It's no different, running up and down a field with his friends. So that has become the hot button topic, and that is primarily the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act, is to get rid of that therapeutic race day medication, because horses are not permitted to race with anything in their system on race day except for that.
Well, it's a shame that the legislation process can't listen to the voices of people who really understand this subject and take that into account. There's so many ins and outs to legislation that, you know, really lead us to sometimes make pretty convoluted laws.
Well, and the difficulty with the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act is that Senator McConnell from Kentucky was the sponsor on the bill, and he, as the president of the Senate, amended it into the omnibus spending bill and the COVID relief bill, which guaranteed its passage. There hasn't been meaningful and and any debate at all on the Senate side on this legislation since it's been introduced in 2017, and it didn't matter. At the end of the day, they put it into a piece of legislation on Sunday night, December 22nd, I think it was. And as you all know, the president signed it into law, because who's not going to sign the COVID relief into law? Absolutely. People need that. You know, there's no way to do anything to get that out. And there was no way to do anything to get that in front of the, you know, the state senators that may have had a different view on what was going on, especially in a state like Ohio, where we have 28,000 employees in the racing industry. I mean, that's a significant number of people whose livelihoods are now going to be severely affected based off of the cost that that's going to move on to everyone that's involved in any horse discipline, tack shops, veterinarians, blacksmiths, massage therapists, equine dentists. Everyone is now regulated at the federal level. This isn't exclusively for racing. I hate to tell any discipline that competes anywhere in an equine discipline is now subject to federal law.
Seems rather counterintuitive. So the OHHA has a lobbying arm. You have some folks that, you know, talk to lawmakers and advocate for certain positions. What do you think your group is going to be doing moving forward? And are you going to continue to try to get this issue amended or changed, or are you looking at some other issues that you're going to work on?
We're going to try and get this issue amended and changed, because as I said early on, it absolutely doesn't take into account the thoroughbred business model to the standardbred business model. It is absolutely drafted for the thoroughbred business model. So our breed registry, the United States Trotting Association, is located in Westerville, Ohio. They are working very diligently on trying to get the legislation amended now that it's passed and been signed by the president. I have heard some chatter that there may be at the national level with the national HBPA a lawsuit, because this doesn't just affect racing. It basically changes the law for things that are normally left under the state's authority. You know, the states versus the federal government, the states have had the ability to do certain things without federal intervention, and gaming is one of those things. Racing is one of those things. So some states' attorney generals have indicated, like California, that this is just like this federal sports wagering act that just got overturned in 2018 that permitted sports wagering nationwide. This is the federal government telling the states what they can or can't do in an area that they've always been left to their own devices in. It's what you'd call a 10th Amendment issue. So there are some constitutional challenges kicking around, and we might see a lawsuit on the validity of it from that perspective, because like I said, this is not just about racing. This has wide ranging implications. This would enable the federal government to come in, for example, and tell the lottery commissions in every state and the casino control commissions in every state exactly what to do with casinos and lotteries. And I just don't know that states are going to be okay with that. So we will continue to lobby for things that protect and preserve equines at all costs, yeah, and that are going to be healthful and helpful to equine athletes, because that's our number one priority. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we're working towards and what we want to do as far as horse racing is concerned.
Well, on that note, I think that wraps up this segment. But Renee, thank you so much for filling us in on what's going on legislative-wise around the country and what we should be paying attention to right now.
No problem. Thank you, Kelly, and thank you, Michelle, and I hope, you know, 2021 is much, much happier than 2020 has been for quite a few people.